Third John, and one verse only, verse number 7. Because that for his name's sake they went forth, taking nothing of the Gentiles. Back please to Acts of the Apostles in chapter 15. Acts chapter 15. I believe we have the basis for a conference like this, the biblical basis here in this chapter. Chapter 15, verse number 14. Simon hath declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. A people for his name. Now lastly, a very well known verse in Matthew chapter 18. Verse number 20. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. What a precious promise we have in this verse. Now that will suffice for our meeting and with the Lord's blessing. These verses have been upon my heart for the report that I have to give just now. Because we believe that they describe missionary work. First of all, we have those that went forth. John writes of them in his third letter. For his name's sake, they went forth. What a privilege it is to bear the precious name of the Lord Jesus, to represent his claims in a world that rejects him. They went forth in his name, taking nothing of the Gentiles. Here we have the power that is at our disposal, the name of the Lord Jesus. In Acts chapter 15, we have Simon describing the report that Paul and Barnabas had given to that conference at Jerusalem. He says that they had gone forth. He says that God has fulfilled his purpose in taking out of the nations a people for his name, or for the name. Brothers and sisters, that is the purpose of ministry, of the missionary. That is the purpose that God is fulfilling. To take out of the nations a people for his name. What a privilege it is to make known that name. What a triumph to see those that God has saved, and they now belong to the name of the Lord Jesus. They went forth. Through their work, God has taken out of the nations a people for the name. But brothers and sisters, missionary life, I believe, has one purpose. Not only to see souls saved, but to see them gathering to the name of the Lord Jesus. What a privilege it is to see those whom God has saved, sitting down to remember the Lord Jesus on a Lord's Day morning. Men that were once steeped in sin and rebellion against God, rising on a Lord's Day morning to give God thanks for his Son. I want to tell you, could I encourage young people here this morning? There's no satisfaction in life like just seeing a soul saved and going on for God and living to please God. And you can look back over years of service and say, it was worthwhile. There is a life that has been transformed. They are gathered alone to the precious name of the Lord Jesus. I leave those thoughts. They've been upon my heart for this meeting, and I trust they'll be a blessing just as we start off this conference. Now, I'm here this morning to represent 9 missionary couples that labour for God in the southern part of the land of Brazil. We used to speak alone about the state of the Rio Grande do Sul, but we are very thankful that the work is spreading and it has gone over the border into the more northerly state, the state of Santa Catarina. The first assembly has been formed in that state, and we thank God for that in the town of Paso de Torres. I have the privilege of having behind me here a map of the land of Brazil. And this beautiful brochure that you have, it just speaks about Brazil in general. But I really would like to speak this morning just about the southern part of that land. Now, before doing so, I should say there is other work going on in other parts of Brazil. We believe there are those that are preaching the gospel and preaching it well. And we pray for them, and we would ask you to pray for them as well. There are those that we know from Northern Ireland who have gone to other parts of Brazil. There's a brother right up there on the Amazon in a town called Santarém, called our brother Samuel Davison, a faithful brother, and we would commend him to you for your prayers. In the state of São Paulo, a large state, there are a number of brethren that we know. Our brother Ronnie Watterson, his son Billy, his son-in-law and others labour in that area. I have never been there, so I cannot take time this morning to tell you about it. We have been there in the south, in the Rio Grande do Sul. Now, the work in the Rio Grande do Sul, just to give a little outline of how it came about. 1948, my uncle, Mr. McCann Sr., left Northern Ireland and went to the land of Brazil. In the company of a couple who were from England, Mr. and Mrs. Jones. They went to the state of Minas Gerais. But my uncle had an exercise to move out, to labour for God in an area where he could see a testimony established in keeping with the New Testament plan. And we thank God for his exercise. We really do. I would ask you to pray for my uncle, Mr. McCann Sr. In a few days' time, on the 15th of June, he will be 91. He presently is in Faith House. He has a lot of difficulty with his memory and physical ailments as well. Last year, in the month of August, his wife, my Aunt Kathleen, was taken home to heaven. We miss that couple. They had a stability. They brought with them something that we feel the miss of in the Rio Grande do Sul. We thank God for their memory. Now, we are also very thankful to have another of the those that we call the fathers of the work, Mr. Harry Wilson, because he joined my uncle in 1952. And together they labored in very difficult and discouraging circumstances. The work in the Rio Grande do Sul did not open easily. It has not been easy by any means. I'm not here this morning to tell a big success story. There have been a lot of labour. There have been a lot of work. But we thank God that God has worked. Precious souls have been saved. It was a joy last Lord's Day, lest I forget to mention this, to know of the 19th Assembly. 18 in the Rio Grande do Sul and that assembly in Paso de Torres in the state of Santa Catarina. 19 in all. The 19th Assembly was formed just last Lord's Day in the city of San Leopoldo. Now, our brother Harry is still with us, a very able brother in the gospel in Portuguese, and we thank God for him, along with his wife and family. And I may comment again about that, because I've been preaching over these past 7 weeks with his son, his youngest boy, Samuel, and we thank God for him. Now, in 1967, our brother Tom Matthews came to Brazil with his wife, he wasn't married when he went first. His wife Dorothy, we would ask you to pray for them. They have labored in the city of Novo Hamburgo. And really that assembly that was formed last weekend is the result of their labors as well. Tom and Dorothy are faithful. He's a very able brother, and we thank God for him. Now, that's the the older ones in the work, as we call them. We're very thankful to have younger men that have come into the work. They have ability. They labor faithfully. And we would commend them to you for your prayers. In 1987, when we went to Brazil 17 years ago, there was another couple, Greg and Elizabeth Buchanan, that came with us. They have labored not only in the Novo Hamburgo area. They saw an assembly formed there in Ivo Chi. But they moved away a number of years ago, away up to the north of the state. It would be 7 hours by car from where they used to live. Right up there.
Sorry.
Tres Passos. They're very isolated, and yet God has used them there. An assembly has been formed, and we thank God for that. In 1992, another young couple from Northern Ireland, our brother Lindsay Carswell and his wife Beth, with their two boys, joined the work. They also started in Novo Hamburgo. They just didn't move as far away as Greg. They live in Sepulcaio do Sul, and our brother has a nice ability, and we thank God for him. He labours in the greater Porto Alegre area, especially, and as a help to the assemblies. Now, in 1998, another young couple from the town of Newton Ards in Northern Ireland, our brother and sister James and Joy Armstrong, joined the work. They also started in Novo Hamburgo and have moved to another town where there's still no assembly, but where a nice work has been established, a place called Sapiranga. We would commend them to you for your prayers with their families, with their family. I should have mentioned with our brother Lindsay and Beth, we certainly value not only your prayers for us, but brethren and sisters, we value your prayers for our families. Lindsay and Beth have two boys, the oldest already in university, both of them still not saved. Last evening we valued the prayers of our brethren and sisters for my own two daughters, still not saved. We labour for souls. We labour to see Brazilians reached. We come home, and there lying in their beds are our children. And we can just cry to God to save them. It's a joy to hear a Brazilian's been saved, but I think there's no greater joy to see one's own family saved. And I long for the day when I will have that joy. Brothers and sisters, pray for us. Now, in 1999, another couple joined us, Noel and Heather Fleck. Now, I want to mention Noel especially this morning. Noel right now is in the hospital in the Royal in Belfast. Noel and Heather had gone to Ireland just a few weeks ago. They intended to stay for 5 weeks, and because of some blood tests that our brother had done, the journey back was refused, and Heather and the children have returned to Brazil. They live there in Candelaria, and it's not easy. Heather and the children in Brazil, Noel in hospital in Ireland. Now, we would value your prayers for Noel, that these tests that he's doing will come through clear. There's some difficulty somewhere, and we trust that God will preserve him to us. Now, the last couple to join us, the most recent, is our brother and sister Crawford and Heather Brown. Crawford is the son of our late brother in Northern Ireland that we esteem so highly, Jim Brown. Crawford has fitted very well to the work, has an ability in the language. I have laboured with them. We've had the joy of seeing souls saved together, and we thank God for that couple. One of the reasons that I thank God especially for them, they have had an exercise to face the privations of the interior of the state. You see, Porto Alegre, the state capital here, most of our brethren live in the area. Noel Fleck came to us in 99, and he has remained in the interior of the state. We live in Santa Maria. Our brother Crawford and his wife Heather had an exercise to move out, and they moved to the city of San Gabriel. Up there.
Right here.
Now, we thank God that God has granted them encouragement. I would love this morning to have had time to tell you about a series of meetings that we have had together and souls that we have seen saved since our brother joined us in 2001. Some excellent believers, some that have given us real joy, and we thank God for the encouragement that Crawford and Heather have seen in the work. Now that's the names of our missionary brethren. We'd ask you to pray for them. Now, moving on quickly. The work in Brazil, just as carried on as you would carry on the gospel here in North America. Spells of meetings, keeping up the gospel week after week. Now I want to limit my report for the rest of the time to that which we've been involved in from the beginning of this year, because I think it will give us an idea of the sort of work that we face in the Rio Grande do Sul. Now, I should say we live in the city of Santa Maria. My wife is there. I spoke to her this morning. And my two unsaved daughters and my little boy, we miss them. I left them on Tuesday past. I'll be away for a number of weeks now. We would ask you to pray for Christine. I thank God for a wife that is with us in the work, supportive, has a love for souls, has a desire for the encouragement of the assembly, and supports us in the work. Could I just mention this? If young people here this morning feel an exercise, I want to tell you, dear brother, you need your wife to be with you. You need your wife to just have as much an exercise about the work as you yourself. There will be times that she will have to face the work, perhaps decisions, etc., that she will play an integral part in the work. I have seen that over 17 years. I know older brethren told us about it. If you're in a situation that your wife will not fit with the work, has no interest to go, please stay at home. It will be a heartache. It will be a deep trial. They must be together. There is no doubt about that. Now, Santa Maria is a large city. We started off in 1987 in Santa Cruz. There's a small assembly in that area, in that city. Still small until today. We were in the home of our brother and sister, Tommy and Emma Wright. They are now in Northern Ireland. Now, we thank God for those early days, the struggles with the language. They were very supportive of us. I don't say to this day that I'm a linguist, but we thank God for the ability to preach the gospel in the Portuguese language. But I had a burden to move on. I had heard about a city called Santa Maria. I remember the first day, it was a Saturday, we went over to see that city. A large city, 250,000 people, a large university, not much industry. It's one of our difficulties. The city really would need to see industry coming in to hold the people. So often the younger folks have to move away to get employment, and we feel that because it's difficult. But in 1990, in the month of March, we made the move. We moved from Santa Cruz over to Santa Maria, a little home yonder, and started meetings in our own garage. Could I say this again? Moving out far away from assembly believers, there's a sacrifice with it. There are difficulties. I remember one Friday evening, my wife came into the little room I had yonder for studying my Bible. I could see that she had tears in her eyes. I said, "What happened?" She said, "A car pulled up outside." Of course, she went over to the window thinking there were visitors coming. And she remembered, "We know no one in this city. The nearest believers that we know are over 100 kilometers from here. We know no one." And I remember that day looking at her and saying, "Well, we know the Lord. Thank God, no matter where we are, we can take the availability of that promise. Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age." Now we thank God for those days when the work wasn't easy. Few people coming. We were glad to have three or four to preach the gospel to. And even to this day, many a time, it's not many that we have to preach to. But if you have three or four dark outsiders listening to the gospel, it's worthwhile. And even a spell of meetings that we make contacts with people in the area, it's very worthwhile. Now, I said I wanted to speak about the last few months. I'm going to start at the beginning of the year. Each year, for the edification of the assemblies in the Rio Grande do Sul, our brethren organize conferences. We have some large conferences. Good Friday, just before Easter, there would be about 570 to 600 people. Now, not all of them are believers. They will gather in Porto Alegre. That would be our largest conference of the year. Just about 2 weeks ago, there was another conference in Novemburgo. There were 450 about at that conference. Now, the form of the conference, it starts at 9:30 in the morning. Very often, believers will travel 4 and 5 hours to be there by bus. But there they are, they gather together. We have a time of prayer. There's 2 hours of Bible reading, and then perhaps 2.5 hours of ministry in the afternoon. And then in the evening, we have a gospel meeting. We have normally someone to tell how they were saved, and then someone to preach the gospel. For there are many unsaved people that will come to the conferences, and we thank God that there have been souls saved in conference gatherings. We thank God for that. Now, at the beginning of the year, between Christmas and New Year, we have what we call the conference Bible readings. There are normally 9. It's the hottest time of the year. This past year, we had a very suitable building. It was plenty of air getting in. It just wasn't so hot. When it was held in the hall in Porto Alegre, not only were the 200 people crushed in to the hall, it could get a little too hot for everybody. But anyway, this past year, we had 9 conference Bible readings together, and it was a happy time of fellowship. And we thank God for that time with the believers. Now, we started in the beginning of the year, our brother Crawford Ryan and I, in a country district 100 kilometers to the south of Santa Maria, right here, in a place called Casa Pava do Sul. Now, that work has been going on from the 70s. It was carried on by other brethren. I should have mentioned we have 3 national workers, our brother Carlos da Silva, José de Matos, and Roberto Ploya. Now, Roberto Ploya had labored in that area, but he had got married and he had moved away to another part, and the work really had closed. Crawford and I have seen that work reopen. Now, it's not encouraging, but we seek to labor for souls. There are 2 elderly women that profess to be saved there. And since the work recommenced, we saw another young man profess. His name is Sergio, and I trust that he will go on. Now, we started meetings there at the beginning of the year. The opposition was great. It's a very Catholic area. It's a very, what we call, Gaúcho town. The traditions of the Gaúchos are very apparent in that town. And the meetings were difficult. I want to be honest here today. We don't always see souls saved in our series. We don't. But the seed was sown. And we labor. And we keep at it. And God can use His word. Now, we had 3 weeks just at that time. Because there was another set of conference Bible readings coming up. This time in San Gabriel. And we had what we call the Carnival Week, the Brazilian Carnival Week, when the believers are off work, but they spend their time not dancing on the streets. They spend their time studying the Word of God together. And that was a happy time that we had together with the believers in San Gabriel. Now, our brother Noel Fleck had been asking me to join him in meetings in his hometown of Candelaria. Now, Candelaria has a nice assembly. Recently has had trials. And I'm not going to go into those things publicly today. But the brethren were discouraged. Just let's be honest about it. And we were longing to see a spell of meetings. There's nothing will help an assembly, brethren, more than a spell of meetings when God is working. And when there's evidence that souls are being stirred up. And whenever you get the believers enjoying the gospel and their hearts warm to Christ, there's nothing like it. And that's what we were exercised about. Now, we thank God that happened. Noel and I had 6 weeks of gospel meetings there in Candelaria. Indeed, the meetings, I feel, shouldn't have closed. They had to close because Noel was going to Ireland. And those meetings were excellent. We thank God for them. Now, there were nights that we had quite a few in from the area. Maybe I should explain this. We don't always preach in gospel halls. We do have spells of meetings in gospel halls. None of them would just be as nice as the one here. But our halls are very suitable. We thank God for all that has been made possible to us. We thank God for those that have supported us in the work, for those halls that we have been able to build, and we thank God for those that support us financially. Now, Noel had rented a building. It was just like a big garage, but it suitably seated up to 70 people. We saw it filled. There were nights that we had around 30, 40, 50. There were nights that it went over 70. Now, it is a very needy area that we were preaching in, a poor area. I don't mind saying the very street where we were having the meetings, the second Saturday of the meetings, a young man was shot dead just outside the building, less than 20 yards from the front door of where we were preaching. Why? Drugs. The very street where we're preaching, there's a wall and it says, Cuidado, Trafico. Now I have to translate that. Care, traffic. It's not traffic on the road. It's drug trafficking. That's the sort of area it was. Now, we thank God that those people came in. And there was a definite interest. We knew of one young man that right from the very start had an interest. He had been attending meetings for over 9 years. His wife is a believer. His mother-in-law is a believer. And her mother, his wife's grandmother, is also a believer. All of those three ladies are in fellowship. This young man, Edjo, came to the meetings night after night. I can well remember him weeping about his soul as he sat and listened. Unfortunately, he had been that way before. But we were crying to God that he might get further, that he might get to Christ. Now the meetings were coming near an end. I remember one night, it wasn't the night that I felt most liberty in the gospel. I spoke on eternity. There was help to preach. Our brother Noel followed. I felt that God in a very special way helped our brother Noel that night to preach Christ crucified. To preach the precious blood. And the meeting closed. I drove home to Santa Maria that night. My heart was heavy. Is it possible these meetings are going to close and we're not going to see any blessing? Following the evening, I drove over with the family. We tried to get them over as often as possible, even though it was 100 kilometres, more or less, back and forth. My daughters have an interest in their soul, and we long to see them saved. Now, that night, Noel got up first to preach. And before he got up, I gave out a hymn. The hymn is about the cross. The last line is that he suffered so much, and it was for me. And as I was announcing the hymn, my eye dropped on Edjo. And he was reading it, and he was shaking his head. Oh, I said, has there something happened? Is there something? Has there been the great event take place? Well, Noel preached. That night the place was full, and I really was sitting at the side of the platform. Not something that we don't often do, but where I was sitting, I could see him. And he was enjoying the meeting. I got up to preach, and as we were preaching, my eye fell on him a number of times. The burden was gone. He didn't even have to tell us. The meeting closed. I went out to the door. Noel and I were on the door, shaking hands. And Edjo came out, and I said, without even having to tell anything, I said, Edjo, I think you have something to tell us. He put his arm around me. He said, this morning at 4:15, through John 3:16, I trusted Christ as my Savior. Now, brothers and sisters, I would love to be able to get over to you what that meant to us. There is a young man that could be, we trust, a future man for the assembly in Candelaria. Even before he was saved, he already was seeking to be kind to the believers. All the believers like him. I trust that he will one day be a shepherd in that assembly. Now, that was those meetings came to a close in Candelaria, and we thank God for that series. Now, I had an exercise about two areas. So often this sort of thing happens. And I knew I had only 6 weeks before I had to leave for Canada. And we had a burden about it. And I decided, right, we're going to start meetings in the two areas. We started, I got a place to rent in Santa Maria, not too far from our home, at this huge shop. And we also rented another building in Restinga Seca. I would love to have had time to tell you about the work in Restinga. It has been going on since 1995. It's 60 kilometres out in the valley from Santa Maria. When the assembly was formed in Santa Maria in 1996, there already were at least, there was one member of the assembly from Restinga, and a number have been added to the assembly in Santa Maria since then that live out there. They come in by bus to remember the Lord and be with us on the Lord's Day, some excellent believers. We thank God for them. But there is no assembly there. It's a German town. The Rio Grande do Sul has a lot of nationalities, and there are a lot of German towns and Italian towns predominantly around the Santa Maria area. Now, Restinga was upon my heart for one reason. There were two people that were upon my heart. One of the believers, indeed the name was on the sheet last night, it was one of the three Donnas. I should mention, when we speak in Portuguese about Dona Cristina or Dona Iraci, you're like saying Mrs. Mrs. It's indicating that the lady's married. Now, Dona Iraci, this particular lady, her husband, Seu Pacheco, was saved in 1999, and we had the joy of seeing him baptized and added to the assembly in October of last year. His wife was opposed. A dark Roman Catholic, but bitterly opposed. Indeed, the day that he left home to go to be baptized, she waited on him at the door with a pair of scissors, and there was a red mark on his neck where she tried to stab him. Brethren, it was a joy to see Seu Pacheco that day in the river in Kishuera, to go down into the waters of baptism and to obey the Lord, no matter what it cost. Now, God has honored him, because Dona Iraci has changed, his wife. Started to come to the meetings. And we had an exercise to try meetings in the area to get that woman in. Now, there was another person, a young man of 17. His name is Thiago. And we had an exercise about him as well. He had been coming well and listening well. He has been reading his Bible. Unfortunately, both of them are still not saved, but these meetings are still continuing. I'd ask you to pray for those two people, that we might still have the joy of seeing them saved. So there it was. We divided the week like this. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Santa Maria. Thursday, Friday, Saturday afternoon, Restinga. Saturday night, the Bible reading in Santa Maria. That's how we have been carrying on the last 7 weeks. Now, the meetings in Santa Maria, let's concentrate on them first. They started quite small. It was a new area. As I've mentioned, our brother Harry Wilson's son, Samuel, he had been in Brazil. He had done his university degree. He decided to go to Ireland. He went home, unfortunately, could not get a job, because his degree was not recognised in the United Kingdom. He just works as an assistant in a veterinary office in Belfast. And he had an exercise. He was going to move jobs. He had an exercise to take 6 months back in Brazil. And he came out. Now, last year when I was at home, I had been with Samuel a number of times in a work that he himself is engaged in. Could I mention, brethren, there are lots of Brazilians have left Brazil and they've gone to other places. Northern Ireland today have Brazilians working there, needy souls. And Samuel had an exercise to go to the town of Dungannon and to contact these people. I had the privilege of preaching in Portuguese in the Dungannon Gospel Hall the last time I was at home. It was a privilege. Now, I could see Samuel had an exercise, and I asked him to join us in these meetings in Santa Maria. He came. Now, it has been an encouragement to him. We moved around the doors day after day, seeking to make contact with the people. The meetings started very small. We were very thankful the night that we had 20 in that rented shop. Now, those numbers have increased. We made contacts. And I'd ask you to pray for some of these people. The first one that I want to mention is an interesting case. The shop that we were in, it just had a wooden wall at the side of it. And in behind, there were a number of, just like bedrooms, that the owner had rented out to students or to people that didn't have a home. And we were preaching away, and we didn't realize that there were people in there listening. Until one night, I think it was the second week, two of these men, a man in, I would say in his 40s, and another student in his 20s, was standing at the door and said, "Can we come in?" I said, "Sure, you're very welcome." They said, "We have been listening every night in behind the wall here. But you make reference to this chart at the back and we want to see it. You don't mind if we come in?" He said, "You're very welcome." One of the man's names is John the Baptist. I would love to see him, John the Baptist. I would love to see him saved. Now, that dear man has come well, attended nightly. He has come to the hall on the Lord's Day to hear the gospel. And I believe God has been speaking to him. The other young man, the student, his name is Marcelo, has been coming well as well. Last Lord's Day, I called at the place. John the Baptist wasn't there. Marcelo was on his own, and he came with me to the meeting. I got speaking to him. On the way, I said, "Marcelo, have you been understanding anything in these meetings?" He said, "Yes, I have." I said, "Tell me, are you saved?" "No," he said, "I'm not." I said, "Do you understand what that means?" He said, "Yes, I do. I understand if I'm not saved, I'm not going to be in heaven." God has been speaking to that young man. I'd ask you to pray for him. The second week, we moved around the doors. One evening, a coloured lady came in. Sat down right at the front. She came in during the meeting. We were glad to see her. She came back the next night. Came again and again and again. And then we let people come. We don't go after them just immediately. One night, leaving the little room, the little shop, she said to me, "I'd like to talk to you." I said, "Sure, where do you live?" She said, "Just round the corner." She gave me the name of the number of the house where she lived. And along with my wife, you'll understand why, Brazil is an immoral country. We always go in the company of our wives or someone when it's a lady. Well, Christian and I went in to see her. After speaking about other things, her family was there, her husband was there. I said, "Well, you asked us to come." She said, yes. She said, "It's this matter of salvation. Salvation." I said, "That's very good. Are you saved?" She said, "Well, this is what I don't know." She told me something of her story. She had been in a Pentecostal group. I believe that woman had been dealt with by God. Now, I'm going to leave something vague here. I don't know whether she has got saved or not. She tells us she has. That the following Lord's Day, alone in her room, she tells us that she has got saved. I don't know. Time will tell. We trust that God has done a work of God in her soul. She continues to come nightly. She has promised with her husband to be at the hall tomorrow night, for the first time, the gospel hall, to hear the gospel. Now, that's Donna Claudia, and I'd ask you to pray for her. Donna Claudia was at the meeting this week, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. I want to tell this. You see, I was coming here to North America, and I'm going on to Ireland, and the meetings were still going on. I said to Samuel, what are we going to do? I really had planned to finish last Friday of the previous week. There were so many people coming. There are other contacts that I should mention, but I'm not going to have time. There they were, listening to the gospel. And we couldn't close. So we decided to go on this week, Sunday to Wednesday, and or Monday to Wednesday in that shop. And I would be leaving on the Tuesday to fly up here to North America, and our local brethren would help. Now, one of the other contacts is the owner of that shop. He's been coming in, not every night, but from time to time, had been coming in and had been listening. I came away to North America. On Tuesday night, our brethren gathered for the meeting. My wife told me, she said, as the meeting was going on, seeing all those people sitting listening to the gospel, she said, I felt within my heart, how can these meetings close? How can we leave these people? She was praying. As the meeting was coming to an end, I think it was Samuel said, this is the last night. The owner of the pest, that's Portuguese. The owner of the room spoke up. He said, do you really need to close? He said, if it's the matter of the rent, I don't want money. I want to hear more. Keep the meetings going. They're going on. My brethren, I would ask you to pray for those meetings as they continue. We long to see God working and to see souls saved. Now, in 1995, we had moved over to Rustenga. I've already mentioned that. The meetings have been going on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday in Rustenga. Now, they're not large meetings, but we still are getting people. There was a meeting there last night. I was speaking to my wife, and she went over the names. There were outsiders in to hear the gospel, and we long to see fruit in the gospel in Rustenga. I want to mention one more thing. As we were moving round the doors, it's really the area where we now live. We just moved house in January of this year. We're not too far from the local university, and there's a large university hospital there. And of course, people come from all over the Rio Grande do Sul to Santa Maria, from those interior towns, to have treatment, especially for cancer, chemotherapy and radiotherapy. Now, we discovered that just a road beside where we live, there are a number of what we call in Portuguese pensões, or guest houses. They wouldn't be just in a hotel altogether, but those folks come in and stay there and have their treatment in the hospital. A dear brother from the assembly in São Gabriel, Seu João, had chemotherapy and had stayed in one of these houses, and I had visited him and I got to know the owner. Now, as we were moving around the doors with tracks, Samuel Wilson passed that house. And he went in, gave out tracts to the folks that were there, and the owner saw him and said, come here. She said, these folks that are staying here with me, they often say, why do we not get a pastor or a preacher to come in here and read the Bible and pray with them? And she said, I have organized with two nuns to come. She says, I've organized with a spiritist man to come, because unfortunately Brazil is full of spiritism. Indeed, the house is really maintained by a spiritist group, but rather we don't mind. That woman said, would you be willing to come along and read the Bible to these people? Sandra said, sure. So we marked Wednesday afternoon from 2:30 to 3:30. It has been a joy to go in there and speak to those people. Many of them facing eternity, serious illnesses, and they are from all over the state. Now, Monday week ago, we had 6 of those people at the gospel meeting, which is nearby, there in that disused shop. Now, we long that God will use His word. Brethren, there are doors opening, and we thank God for that. And it's for us to take advantage of those open doors. Now, I would love to have had time to tell you more, but I want to be careful with the time here this morning. As I close, I would ask the believers that are with us here from this favored Canada, that you might remember those that serve God in the land of Brazil. It's so encouraging to see us all, to see you all here this morning. It's so encouraging just to receive a letter from someone. Your name has been mentioned. We're praying for you. Brethren, it's like a tonic. And I want to tell you, there's a God that we serve, and He hears prayer, and He answers prayer. And you can play a part in your room, in your home, and even in the assembly prayer meetings, an integral part in the work of the gospel in foreign lands, just by remembering in prayer. Brethren, we go forth in the name. We love that name. We make that name known. And thank God there will be a day when those that God has taken out of the nations are going to praise that name eternally. May God bless His word to us all.